Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
I hate that song.
Fox Sports Radio, welcome inside. I always wait for Bill Belichick. He gives me the cue when to go. I always wait, I wait. And they gave it to me. Welcome inside. I'm Jason, the man on my left. It's my best friend, Mike Harmon.
What's up, buddy?
Tells you where my life. Happy.
Whoa, come on now.
It was a little stream of consciousness.
A bastion
there, sorry.
Of positivity and... I mean, you jump on my back and I carry you to the promised land. And just like that, you kick me aside.
I like to use the word bastion in the first few minutes of the show.
Well,
I know,
I've been told I use bastion. Big words and I'm pretentious. I figured for the holiday season, I'm just going to go through every big word in my dictionary and make all those detractors happy.
Like Clay Helton is now a bastion of strength for the USC football program.
I wouldn't call it that.
Okay, all right.
And say he gets to bridge the gap to whatever is down the road, and that they took a cowardly way out here.
Wow.
At USC.
Now that's a change for you.
How about that?
Tons of football to get to tonight. We have a big controversy coming out of San Francisco that's gaining a lot of attention the past couple hours. A big night in the NBA as well. The Lakers lead the Jazz right now. 3.5 to go in the second quarter. 53-41 is the score. And, you know, every time I check, I look and see, has the NBA given the Rockets the win for the game last night because of James Harden?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
I'm hitting refresh to see if that's going on, and I don't see that yet.
All those people that lost on the money line are still salty.
I'm like,
they're holding on to their tickets.
I thought the Rockets were confident they were going to get that loss overturned because of the uncounted Harden dunk.
Think about it. At the end of the night at the sports books, someone going through all the garbage cans just put a pile of Rockets tickets together just in case.
Hey
man, this could be my Christmas bonus right here.
I could hit it. You never know. For the Lakers tonight, LeBron and Anthony Davis sharing the scoring lead with 14 points apiece. LeBron has 6 assists. Lakers are again look like they're on the way to another workmanlike 10 to 12 to 15 point victory, and they're just gonna keep piling up the wins here. They'll lose one of every 7 games, and that's kind of how it's gonna be.
The only thing they've had in terms of any, I don't want to say controversy, but nervousness, is that Kyle Kuzma's been a bit uneven. But even then, if that's all you're worried about is him rounding back into whatever he becomes as the third, fourth option here.
You know what it is with Kuzma? It's him getting used to LeBron in a new role, because the way they meshed last year was great. And that's why we could say, listen, Kuzma, LeBron, they have that kind of chemistry. But now obviously LeBron is playing more facilitator, playing more point guard. And look what he's doing. You know, his assist numbers are at the top of the NBA. So I don't know that this is anything more than, all right, Kuzma's got to realize it's a different LeBron, and maybe it's got to be something different that he slides into in his role, and it is off the bench, and there's a little bit more to get used to. Plus, it's coming back from injury, but right now it's like, okay, that's your biggest problem.
No, but that's the biggest problem they have, right? You're getting great efforts offensively and defensively in limited minutes from Alex Caruso, the folk hero. Dwight Howard, another big run here defensively. They had a 4-minute span where he was just everywhere. Just like when he was the defensive player of the year a couple of years back. I mean, just showing glimpses of that. Maybe it's not long sustained bursts for him, but if you can get 4 minutes here and there where he dominates on that side, that end of the court, I mean, you're in trouble if you're an opponent. So, and look, LeBron's got everybody bought in. We talked about it the other night, just Frank Vogel and putting the defensive mindset back in that disappeared last year. You just couldn't get anybody to buy in. LeBron was in load management mode and not extending and expending energy on that side of things. So now you've got a roster. I'm curious to see when buyouts and everything happens, how it comes to shape and what this team looks like in March and April. But right now, you've got a team that for 48 minutes, they're going to give you everything they have.
We'll keep you updated on this game. Obviously, Lakers and the Jazz again, a 16-point lead for LA now with under 3 minutes to go in the second quarter. But the big football news of the day, and we got into this last night in the last couple hours of the show because things just started to get insane with Clay Helton. Was he returning? Was he not? Was he fired? Clay Helton will be back as USC head football coach for next year. This, according to new athletic director Mike Bone on Wednesday. Now, we had heard last night that potentially they were excited about him reaching agreement to stay for a fifth year. And Bruce Feldman from Fox Sports and Fox Sports One put out on social media last night that that looked like it was likely.
Boner.
Well, officially, the announcement
Mike
made
Boner.
Today.
To you.
And Justin Frostberg, very excited about this news. Very excited that Clay Helton gets to stay.
Oh, everybody
so
just
excited.
Thrilled today. Are you kidding me?
The statement from Mike Bone on Twitter, I am pleased to let you know Coach Helton will continue to be our head coach. His commitment to our student athletes and to leading with integrity is vital to restoring our championship program, which is the goal for all of our teams. And none of you come at me with this Aunt Becky crap. I'm done. That's not on my watch. Or that last part I just made up. But, I mean, that would be pretty funny.
It would have been a good addition, sure.
And you know, I know that this is not met with any sort of excitement from USC faithful, but I'll tell you a couple of things that I will take away from this situation. The first thing is, I bet you they made a backdoor run at Urban Meyer, and Urban Meyer either said no or not yet. And they walked away from that and said, okay, we can't just put our guy right in that we want. Let's go with Clay Helton for one more year. Because, look, in any walk of life, whatever you do for a living, when someone new comes in at the top of a company, of an organization, what are the best people that come in at the top do? Do they fire everybody right away, or do they come in, see everybody work for about a year or however long it is, and then make a decision and start putting their own people in? And that's exactly what USC did. Look, new president, new idea, got new everything. And this is a scandal-ridden school that can't go 5 minutes without a, hey, look at this, look what's going on now with USC. I mean, USC just can't get out of their own way. So let's take a year, let's get used to things, get used to our jobs, and then we'll lead a search that will probably include James Franklin, who a year from now is going to go, I can't have 11 win talent and only win 9 games because I get boat raced by Ohio State every year. I'm ready to go someplace else. I'm ready to canvas the college basketball, the college football scene, and make a move for our right head coach, whether it's Franklin, whether it's whoever, whether it's you make a run at Urban Meyer next year and he says yes, he's into it after this year is out. So I get that, because that's normally what people do. You sit around, you wait a year, you do it. It's what the Panthers did with Ron Rivera. The new owner came in middle of last year. He's been on the job about a year and a half, saw Ron Rivera for one plus season, said, okay, now we're moving on and we're going to make that decision. So this is not you're suddenly stuck with Clay Helton for in perpetuity. It's he has next year, and if next year USC is 7-5 and doesn't make a jump from 8-4, doesn't win 10 games, and isn't in the running for the Pac-12 title to the end of the year, then it's going to be somebody else in there that's coaching Keaton Slovis and all the other great weapons they have on offense. That's how it's going to go. But just to go back to the point about scandal, because this is another reason why Clay Helton kept his job, is that Clay Helton's not a scandal guy. He's not someone that it's been at the head of, boy, Clay Helton is part of off-the-field headlines that USC doesn't want. They have their own fair share of it. So the fact that Clay Helton is just, well, okay, is he a great football coach? Can he be the next great football coach? Like, I don't think Clay Helton's a great football coach, and the fact that he keeps getting the quarterback position wrong when he goes to guys, whether it's Sam Darnold or Slovis, I mean, that's a big red flag for me. But I know the reality of why he's able to stay is because, look, it's just about the football program. And is he a good head coach? He's not. Okay, that's something we can take a year to decide on. And he's not a horrible headline for us. Is he popular with our fans? No, but if he wins 10 games next year, no one's going to care. We are in the top 25 now. We've won 8 games. We look like our team is on the way up. So let's stick with him for 1 year. All of those things went into why Clay Helton is staying for at least year 5.
Yeah, it goes, I mean, there's just the two sides of it, right? We go through all the scandals. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars in payouts. Some of it just so grisly, we just look it up. I mean, we'll spare you the details on that. The Aunt Becky stuff, kind of funny on the larger scale, because you are a private institution.
Right,
so
but
whether
that
someone
gets
pays
so much
embarrassed.
But that's the thing. It's one of those headlines that's, oh my God, really? But because it gets so much attention, because it's Aunt Becky.
No, that's it.
Felicity Huffman. I mean, that's really what everybody wants to pay attention to.
But it's funny.
And it's USC in every headline. USC scandal. Here's Aunt Becky. Here's what Felicity Huffman is wearing in jail.
No, right.
I mean, here's Orange is the New Black. Nope, it's not Orange and Stan. Here she is doing her yard work in prison. I mean, that you can't get away from
but
that.
that's just it. It was a story that was, to me, much ado about nothing. Really? They paid to get into a private university? Oh, wow. Too bad. They can always add another chair to the classroom. But when it comes down to the rest of it, Urban Meyer, you're talking about migraines and other some health stuff along the way that's still part of the equation. Liking and loving what he's doing in television, and you see it every week after they finish the efforts on Fox, how much people are lauding his efforts and what he's put together just as year one of a media career. And Carol Folt, the new president, very clear about wanting to get past all these scandals. So you put a holding pattern on Urban Meyer. Might they have kicked the can a bit? Sure. But I think at this point, I'll take her at her word that they want to move the university to where they're not a punchline anymore, and the what has become the face of the myriad scandals across college sports and college and just colleges in general, the way they're handling their medical schools and all of these different things, you know, doctors on campuses. Hell, the Big Ten had multiple schools in the last decade that have had all sorts of issues and allegations and payouts and everything else. So, I mean, when you're talking about cleaning up your administration, the last thing you're going to do is, all right, let's bring a guy who's a great football coach but has some spots in the thing we're trying to clean up. So that goes to the wayside, and that's part of it. The buyout, I still don't believe that was really an issue. Clay Helton's going to have to put up a pretty good showing against Alabama in that opener next year. Otherwise, we're right back.
Can we unschedule that game? Is there any way? I want like 4 puff pastry games that we can win and Slovis can throw for like 2,000 yards the first 4 games of the season.
Well, but the question becomes, you know, what is Alabama next year? I mean, they're giving up a lot of points now, and do they just reload? Is it that easy? You know, do they move on from Tua into some great new chapter for Nick Saban, or is it going to be challenging there for USC? Does Graham Harrell leave? Right, he's going to have opportunities if he wants to go.
Oh, yeah.
Grass could be greener for him to go try something else. So, I mean, there's a lot of questions. I mean, Clay Helton gives them stability, but you just hired the new administrator. And I get you. Sometimes it takes time to build your fiefdom, but you're also doing what the last parts of the administration did. So to some degree, isn't it shuffle up and deal? You brought in a new guy. In theory, you've got a new vision and a new direction. And instead, whether he gave some 11th-hour speech to keep his job or whatever the case was, it seemed a bit odd that you get to this point to where you continue in that regard. Because you just changed out. You go from Pat Hayden and all that was going on with him. You have Lynn Swann that everybody just readily admitted was a joke in terms of an administrator. Right, you want to compare who's on a golf course or whatever, as we like to do in this country, and then you go and you bring in a new AD, and he just keeps status quo. That's a bit surprising.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon, live from the Geico Studio. So this is not going to be Clay Helton's here forever. It's one more year, and then it'll be James Franklin, Adam Gase. You know, it could be anybody. You know,
wow, you want Adam Gase in our backyard? I don't want to hear about him all the time.
Yeah, but I like tacos, and I want to see the flying tacos. I like that.
We live in the greater Los Angeles area. I can walk outside this door, and someone can throw a taco and hit you.
That could be a game. Hitting people, all right, we've got to patent that idea. When it comes to hiring, you don't have time to waste. You need to get to your short list of qualified candidates fast, so that's why you need Indeed.com. Post a job in minutes. Set up screener questions based on your job requirements, then zero in on qualified candidates using an intuitive online dashboard. Your time is precious. Let Indeed help you get to your short list of qualified candidates and discover why 3 million businesses use Indeed for hiring. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. That's Indeed.com/hire. Search for greatness. Search Indeed. So as we continue to celebrate everything going on in sports today, nothing bigger than the fact that Wilpons are selling the Mets.
Oh,
I'm so happy.
Go.
I'm so incredibly happy. I can't even tell you. Oh, we had to get to Clay Helton first, but I'm so happy that Wilpons.
You got 5 more years of it.
It's like I had a personal sun over my head tonight walking around. It was so great.
Yeah, they're only getting rid of 80%, buddy. They're still in daisies.
That's a pretty crappy sun for 5 years.
That's all right. I'm going to cross every day off
of
my calendar.
That is an ugly sun.
Every day off of my calendar. calendar. And Will Ponder is selling
crying.
The Mets every day.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
And a little bit more on Clay Helton before we get to the quarterbacks in the news in the National Football League right now. As we found out today, Clay Helton will be coming back as USC head coach next year.
Yeah, delaying the inevitable.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you're going to come back.
They're just going to kick the can down the road.
I know. And, you forget about, and something that we always bring up, and I know you always care to bring it up, is that anytime you make a change, it's always, okay, so what are you changing to? Mm-hmm. Right? It's like, where are you going? What are you changing to? And that's the thing that people forget about. All right, we got to get rid of Clay Helton. Well, it's not like there's tons of guys out there. Obviously, I am sure they back-channeled Urban Meyer, because Urban Meyer spent the entire fall sitting between Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush on television. So if they couldn't convince him now, that's going to be a big deal. But who else is ready to jump? Who is Jim Harbaugh going to jump from Michigan to USC? No, that's not going to happen. Is James Franklin ready now to jump from Penn State to USC? That can get pretty messy. I mean,
it's only like $1 million or $2 million buyout. Like, right. There's not much there.
No, it's not.
To try to bring him in.
Is he ready to make that jump now, or is it going to be another year where he's got to watch? Okay, boy, we're really good, and I just can't get over anybody here. I want to get to the West Coast, and there's not that many coaches that you can say, okay, this is our guy. Lincoln Riley's not leaving Oklahoma for anywhere but the National Football League. So who are the candidates out there that you really can say, hey, let's go identify this person. This is what we're going to get. This is not like the NFL, where at the end of the year, teams who need a coach go, okay, well, Mike Holmgren's at the top of our list, and then who else is out there? Adam Gase is on this list. Not that Gase is great, but you know the list of people that these are the guys. These are the people that we want to put in charge of a program that we're happy with. And Holmgren was at the top of everybody's list last year. He wanted the Jets job. The Jets didn't want him. I need that for a second. But you got to realize that Will Ponder are selling the Mets and everything is great. That's what's important. But it's not like there's a list of, oh, this is the guy you got to go get to go coach your college football program. Because USC, you can't just say, here's a young up-and-coming offensive coordinator who's done great that we're suddenly going to give a big job to. You need star power now. And that's the thing about certain cities. You need that star power. You can't just go hire anybody. And who's going to bring that star power there? UCLA basketball has been looking for the right hire now for the better part of a decade, and they can't get it right. So you need that. You need that. Who's going to come in and be the CEO of the program type deal? And outside of a couple people that aren't ready to go right now, who are you going to go get?
See, I think in this case, when we're talking about college football and for USC, Clay Helton's name is mud. You're right. Give him credit for helping to find and develop a couple of quarterbacks. It's good. We can talk about in-game management. We talked a lot about penalties and turnover margins and just, well, abject failure on a lot of that stuff. Let's just call it what it was. And with all the talent and the evaluation every year, I mean, from people that watch football tape far more than you and I do, I think we do a pretty good job relative to the media, capital M. But when it comes down to it, they just say man for man. And the eye test is there, mm-hmm. right? You've got talent everywhere. Those young wide receivers, guys would be salivating to come work with them. So with LeBron in town and Kawhi in town, the Dodgers being the Dodgers, USC moving from Clay Helton, this is the time. If you're ever going to go for a home run name, this is the time to do it. Because you can go, as long as the guy's competent and can clean up some of the messes, this is it.
Oh, wait. I forgot. Frostburg has Willie Taggart's phone number.
There is that.
Yes, that's like Frostburg has that, right?
Why? Is he homeless?
I don't think I'd ever coach again if I'm Willie Taggart. I'm taking my buyout. I'm buying an island, and I'm never seen again.
Yeah.
He got paid a boatload.
He's a legend. Are you kidding me?
That's how bad he was.
Yeah, USC wouldn't have to pay him at all.
I hope Syracuse hires him right away.
Oh, stop. Oh, by the way, lost to Florida State, who fired their head coach. We lost to Boston College. They fired their head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Really? What's that?
So Dino Babers isn't the man for USC, is what you're saying.
No, Dino. I don't have to worry about Dino leaving this year. That's okay. I mean, maybe next year because we have a really soft schedule. But now
USC is all about being average, not below average.
Okay.
But right now, it's just the idea.
It's just
I think just where the city is with all these other heavyweights across the sporting landscape, you can go and make it higher. Because right now, it's anybody but Clay. right? I wouldn't be surprised if there isn't a T-shirt that says that. Because what? Five wins? Eight wins? With the talent that's assembled there, you should be able to best that, shouldn't you? I mean, I think just based on what's on the roster, you clean up a little bit of your program, you roll through. You don't need. You could become the next Pete Carroll in heavyweight because he wasn't a name when he was here.
Yeah,
he was a guy that had failed a bunch.
Yeah, but you can't go to another guy that's not a big name and fail again. You know, that's it's time. Look, coaching hires go in cycles, and you go from, if you have a players coach, for instance, for 3 or 4 years, well, then you got to go to a hard ass, right? You can't go players coach to players coach because, you know, certain dynamics and philosophies and strategies only last so long before the message gets tuned out by players.
Mm-hmm, sure.
It's the same thing when you're talking about hiring a coach and their image for your team. You can have a couple of, hey, we went for the young stud offensive coordinator name. That didn't work a couple of times. Now we got to go for somebody bigger. We can't sell to our fan base, everybody else. Here's the next great genius. Well, you just gave me a couple of geniuses that didn't make it. You got to go. And then after you go with somebody big, you could say, well, we just had the big guy who was really popular across the country. Now we got to go to someone who's a little less known that maybe is up and coming, that's maybe a little bit younger. I mean, things like that have to go in cycles. And USC, you can't go to another guy and get it wrong that he's not a big name. Like if you went to Urban Meyer and Urban Meyer, it was, well, okay, Urban Meyer didn't work out, but who knew? The guy had won everywhere. What are you going to do, not hire Urban Meyer? Okay. So that's why it's got to be a name. It's got to be a big name that's going to come out that you know can work in a program that is dealing from deficits and is getting out from under a pile of scandal. Look, James Franklin makes the most sense. You know, maybe it's another year for him to get out and go. But there's not a lot of names out there. I mean, there's not many people that you could say, okay, this is the guy we're going to go at. Someone's going to go crazy to hire him after this year. I mean, the years of, hey, Brady Hoke won all these games at San Diego State. He's going to get a big job now. Those guys are gone. There's not that many this year. So that's why it's going to be, if you want a guy gone, all right, well, what are you replacing him with? You know, you can replace a coach when you know who you want to get rid of him for. And outside of Urban Meyer, there was nobody there for USC. And that's why this story went the way it did. Why there was no rumors of anybody else. It was the season ended and a few days had gone by and Clay Helton was keeping the job. So you knew, all right, I guess he's going to keep his job.
Yeah, I mean, not that it's replete with sexy names. I mean, that's certainly not where we're at. But you can always do the search. Right to this point, I don't know how much of a search was conducted. I think it was more just the internal. All right, what are we doing here? As
hey,
university?
Urban, not yet. Okay, all right, search is over.
Could have been that.
Love was with me all the while. TJ.
Could have been that. Could have done some focus groups. I mean, maybe more comes out in the wash of, you know, what do we do?
Yeah, and Penn State being good didn't help.
No,
with
sure.
James Franklin, it was, well, okay, look, Penn State's having a great year. Is he looking for the exit door yet? But no, now you're going to wait another year and see, hey, we can't get past Ohio State. We're having a tough time getting past Wisconsin. I'm winning 10 games a year, and I can't do anything. I'm heading out to the West Coast. I'm going to USC where I can just get anybody I want to.
Potential is certainly there for that. I think that would make the most sense, sensibilities and what we've seen from James Franklin. Because he took Penn State from where they were in rubble, mm-hmm, and resurrected them. That's why it made no sense to retain Clay Helton. You should have gone after him with as many briefcases as you needed to and brought James Franklin over, right? That's just it. You move forward because you can sell that. You want to talk about a guy that you can win the press conference? James Franklin's that guy. I mean, look at what Penn State was. Look at the cesspool and the national media, all the morning talk shows, everything during the Sandusky trial that came down and all the eyes that looked on that program and what it's been rebuilt to. You want to talk about doing that on the other coast and being able to push some of this other scandal again. I think the whole Aunt Becky thing is just ludicrous on a grand scale, but the rest of it is just so abhorrent that you could say, all right, here's a guy and this is the face of how we step away from hundreds of millions of dollars of settlements and all of these problems. A guy that's been there, that's gone through that, that can lead a program and lead it back. And look, they've got a good base. I mean, nobody's arguing. Like, the recruiting base is still there. You've got talent to work with. You just got a guy that's not getting you from point B to point C.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
So, Brian alluded to this story we're going to get to right now. The Lakers beat the Jazz tonight, and because the Lakers are 19-3, apparently we're at the how dare LeBron James not wear shoes when he's not playing portion of the schedule for the National Basketball Association.
It's better than complaining that they're beating the hell out of
him. Here it was, LeBron out of the game in the second half with the Lakers a big lead, and the Jazz play-by-play announcers were not happy LeBron did not have his sneakers on.
Inside, Tony blocked by Kuzma, got it back. Big fella turns in a crowd, continues to fight, blocked again.
Look at LeBron, he's on the court.
With no shoes, mind you.
Oh, what is going on here?
That's some disrespect right there. Please.
Look at LeBron onto the court, no shoes on.
Yeah, he'd given his shoes away to a fan.
Yeah, Long. No, how do you not have shoes on? You gave your shoes away to a fan. How dare you? You made a kid in Utah really happy because you gave him your shoes. What are you going to do now? I mean, really, I think we are reaching a little bit for, oh my God, how dare LeBron not have shoes on? You know, he gave him to a fan. What's he going to do? Walk off the court with no shoes on? Yeah, I'm sure he's got like 40 pairs of shoes in the locker room. What are the Lakers going to say? Hey, LeBron, you give away your shoes, man. You're walking out in socks. You don't have another pair for you. This is not you and your mom going to the beach. And like, well, you got to walk in your bare feet. You lost your flip-flops.
Technical foul. Is. You were in your socks. Didn't even have any sliders on. Didn't even have the courtesy. Get him out of here.
They were so mad.
The fact that he was on the court while the ball was in play is really the curiosity of it. Whether he's got shoes on or not.
Yeah. But look, we've seen this from LeBron before, that in games that the Lakers are winning. They do it. We've seen him do it. We've seen him bottle flip before. I watched him bottle flip in Madison Square Garden the second half against the Knicks when they beat him by 50.
When he didn't play, he was sitting there drinking wine.
Yeah, there is. So I think if you have a scale of what LeBron James has done on the sideline that's good and bad looks, I think giving his shoes away to two fans, you know, at the end of the fourth quarter in a game in which they're up by 20, I think that's kind of benign.
He has done this time and time again. This is, you know, again, the LeBron James victory tour as he's, you know, running roughshod over the NBA right now. Is a kid or multiple kids every night are getting shoes and are getting some piece of memorabilia on this, whatever you call this, not a goodbye tour because he's still just getting warmed up as to what this team could accomplish for the year. But if that's what's getting you mad, how about you call out the fact that the Jazz didn't bother to show up, right? That the Lakers came in and I get that part of it,
because the game was a blowout, this is what it is. But I mean, look, but LeBron has done, he gave kids sneakers. You know, he didn't take his shoes off, sitting with his feet up on the court, you know, waving his socks around. No, he autographed his sneakers and he gave them to two kids who came down.
Right, and then he got fired up over a sequence under the basket, got up and was waving a towel over his head, and was fired up for the play that was on the court. You want to complain that he's on the court in general? Fine. Adding the he's in his socks and that's disrespectful? I mean, come on, get off my lawn. Good God, man.
There's times for real discussions about things and controversies, and there's times when it's just a cosmetic one, and that's what this is. You say something that you sound like you're 1,000 years old, and you're definitely one of those, you know, in my day, this is, yeah, well, okay, you know what? The world changes, all right? Every generation is different, all right? Because George Gervin wasn't signing his sneakers giving away in 1978 doesn't mean that LeBron James signing his sneakers and giving away to a kid is a bad thing in 2019, all right? He gave these kids a moment they're going to remember the rest of their lives. Remember when LeBron gave you his sneakers? Oh, my God. I couldn't even carry it. It was so big.
Well, he signed it. You see the kids doing everything they can to cradle it, knowing how precious that is. Game-worn sneaker of LeBron, no matter how many he gives away, we're looking at somewhere between $5,000 to $7,000 or thereabouts.
I just gave these kids money they're going to start to go to college on.
But legitimately, I mean, we're talking about game-used sneakers from LeBron. Sometimes it gives the jersey away. That's going to have a higher premium. But I mean, we're talking a couple of grand each for these shoes that he signed and handed over to these kids. And it was a good gesture finding kids because they were also not front row kids.
No,
right? they brought him
all
down
the way from the top down to get these sneakers.
So kind of a big deal.
It's not like he was taking them off and throwing them at Donovan Mitchell as he was trying for a layup. All right, I got two sneakers.
Hey,
who do I hit by one?
You
really
asked me for one before the game. Here it goes.
I really want to hit Ingles with one. Can I throw one of Ingles? I just want to throw one of Ingles.
Coming in hot.
Let's listen to LeBron James talk about Sneakergate following the big win over the Jazz. Again, 121-96. This happened with the game over. Basically, there's 3 minutes left, and the Lakers are up by 20. And this game is ending. We'll get that sound. We'll get to listen to it. But, I mean, this game is over. They're up by 20, and all he's doing is giving sneakers to kids.
That's just waiting for the clock to run out. He's trying to find some entertainment as well. That's really all it is here, I'm doing a good gesture. And what do we always talk about in the NBA? Your ratings are down. What are you trying to do? You're trying to cultivate new fans, keep the fan base fired up. And if one of the prizes at the end of the night of your team getting beaten down is that a couple of folks that got into the arena to watch the Lakers and this show they're putting on, someone's going to walk off with some sneakers, that's a pretty good night. And you made a couple of fans happy. They're going to be lifelong LeBron stands going forward. Maybe they'll become members of the media. And then they'll be LeBron stands embedded in the media that they got those shoes all those years ago.
Maybe they'll grow up big enough they'll be able to wear the shoes.
No, there's that too.
Like when your daughters are little and they're wearing your mom's shoes around, they're just clomping around because they're so big.
And like, then eventually right, they're just going into the closet and taking them. Hey, I'm taking those tonight.
Don't trip and fall. Don't trip. I mean, it's starting to gain a lot of attention now on social media, and this is a made up one. This is just made up.
Need a hug. Are they nervous about Friday's game? Is that what this is about? They're nervous you're going to be left out of the playoffs, so it's now going down into what the Jazz are doing on the court?
Drinking wine on the sideline, not a good look. All right, if you're on the court complaining about when you're not playing, not a good look. Giving sneakers to kids, suddenly that's it's disrespecting the game.
You gave away the sneakers and then you waved a towel because you were excited about your teammates' play. You dirtbag. How dare you? How dare you?
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
The Lakers haven't beaten anybody as they beat the Jazz 121-96 to improve to 19-3.
Tacos!
10-1 away from home. Joining us now on the hotline, he is a friend of the show, and I don't have to put that in air quotes. No, he is a friend of the show. National NBA writer, insider at the LA Times, and owner of many homemade Baby Yoda merchandise. It is Dan Wojcicki. Dan, what's happening, bud?
I only know of Baby Yoda via the memes. But he seems very adorable. He is. Did I do that right?
My guy. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to say to that. That's all right. No. You hit it, man. You're good.
Could Baby Yoda play offensive guard for the New York Jets?
Many positions for the New York Jets. In fact, it was just Sam Darnold behind him and Baby Yoda put his hand up to stop the line from coming in. It would still be difficult for Darnold to throw a completed pass because the receivers still be covered.
Fair enough. Baby Yoda bought the Mets today? Did I read that right?
This is
all jumbled up.
No, this is a great day for me. The Wilpon selling the Mets. I'm walking around like I'm running through a sunshine field with daffodils. I'm like the girl from the No Rain Blind Melon video. I'm just dancing around going, the Wilpons are selling the
Mets.
You
got a blind melon references. How you like that, Dan?
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, I'm excited, Dan.
Hot blind melon take? That's not their best song.
Really? Wow, that is a hot Blind Melon take.
There's a song called Change by Blind Melon. That's a terrific song. Pretty sure it's about heroin, but it's a great song.
I think a lot of their songs were.
Many songs are about heroin, so yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
No, it was a pretty good album all through, but that's not why we're here.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
Dan Wojcicki is here for the latest in pop culture.
Tones of Home was also a classic, yeah.
For all your Blind Melon references, you can hit him up on Twitter at Dan Wojcicki Sports.
Yeah.
Hey, so we just watched the Lakers beat the Jazz 121-96, but haven't played anybody, right? The Lakers are overrated, right?
Hey, it's almost, you guys are talking to me almost like somebody didn't write that, you know, maybe we just like a slow your roll on kind of some of the stuff that we were going to learn a lot more about them in the next month. And I think they were aware of this too, right? And so it's kind of a twofold thing, I think, right? Like on one hand, what the Lakers did in October, November needs to be commended for the sense that, like, the schedule is what the schedule is, and all you can do is go out and kick the crap out of the teams in front of you, right? And by and large, they did that. When they played good teams, it was harder. This makes total sense, by the way, right? Like, But I think what happened was sort of this December schedule kind of loomed, and you saw it started obviously with the loss against Dallas. I was there. Luka didn't even play that well and was just a total beast in that game. But then they have this really tough back-to-back in Denver and Utah, one of the hardest back-to-backs you can play in the NBA. And they look terrific. I think this is a team that is at a different level of functionality than almost anyone else in the NBA right now in the regular season. I think LeBron looks terrific. Anthony Davis looks terrific. They complement each other so well. And they've got a lot of role players. And they play really hard, and they're pretty good on defense. And they're going to win a lot of games because of this. I think some of the stuff about their roster, and I still have questions about their roster, their point guard situation and how can LeBron hold up as a point guard. I still think there are big picture questions, but in terms of as of today, who's playing the best basketball in the NBA? It's the Lakers. It's not even close.
What did Frank Vogel do to get everybody to buy in?
I think it was timing. And this isn't to take any credit away from Frank Vogel, because I think he's a good, really good detail-oriented coach who has had success and has gotten guys to play defense before. But he also walked into a situation where LeBron James came off the biggest, extended period of time of no basketball since he was 21, where the murmurs that maybe, this was the beginning of the end and stuff like that and all that stuff. So he got a very motivated LeBron who's playing harder on defense than he did it all last year. He got Anthony Davis in a trade, and he got a team that wasn't sort of saddled with some of the problems that Luke Walton was saddled with. First of all, the front office is has a clear direction. It's not Rob and Magic, it's just Rob. And then I think the team is not, we're developing young guys while we're still trying to service LeBron and some of the vets that are here. No, this is a team that's built to win a title, and so it's a bunch of grown-ups in that locker room with a grown-up adult coach at a time when LeBron James is seemingly hell-bent on proving everybody wrong. I think that's a lot of that has to do with kind of where they are right now. It's sort of, they're off to this amazing start because LeBron's in great shape. He's healthier. He's talked about this with us as sort of he's at this sort of intersection where his body feels great, and he also has sort of these 18 seasons of being able to just see defenses. It's sort of like Brady. Not Brady this year, but Brady last year. Right? Right when Brady found the TB12 system, Brady. Right? This is where we're at with LeBron right now.
Okay. He's got the LBJ. He's wearing the right pajamas now to go to bed every night.
Yeah, oh, good. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Eating only avocados.
Yes.
For every meal. It's a healthy fat, guys. I don't know if you know this. But, I think, it just seems like he's in a really good place, and they've got, they put shooters around him, which is what you should do. And he's got, he's part of the most devastating pick-and-roll combination in the NBA between him and Anthony Davis. I think, those two guys are so good. A lot of the other stuff wasn't going to matter. And then a lot of the other stuff is playing pretty good basketball.
The thing is, Dan, is every year the NBA regular season is just so entertaining, and it's okay because in the end, we're waiting for a matchup that we expect. For 4 years, the NBA regular season was great, but in the end, we were waiting for the Warriors and the Cavaliers. And I feel like this year, this NBA season is a lot of fun. We got a lot of stuff going on, but we're just waiting for the Lakers-Clippers Western Conference Finals. That's what I feel. I'm just waiting for that to just take over the world next spring.
Well, it seems like, I think there's really good basketball being played in the Eastern Conference. I'm in Chicago right now. I'm going to see Clippers Bucks on Friday. Milwaukee's played terrific. Toronto has been a wonderful basketball team this year. A lot of credit due to the Raptors. And I think both those teams, could be as good as the Lakers or the Clippers. They're both very good basketball teams. But you're right. That's the marquee matchup that's out there. And I think what's so interesting about it is we're still. So you have the Lakers, right? Who are this optimized version of who they are. It seems exactly we know what the Lakers are going to look like. And then you have the Clippers, who are still largely sort of a mythical idea, right? They're kind of getting their roster back. They still don't have Landry Shamet, but that Kawhi and PG are back now, but they don't look 100% comfortable with one another on offense, at least. And, you know, the defense that we think they're going to be able to play, they're not quite there yet. It's still, you know, it's very much a work in progress. The Lakers feel like more of a finished product. On one hand, there's confidence, and there should be some confidence in that if you're a Lakers fan, because it's like, you know, you look at this team and you look at what they did to Utah tonight, you look at what they did to Denver last night, you have to say yourself, like, up until the conference finals, like, who's going to beat them? You know, the West doesn't look as strong as we thought it was going to be. I mean, who's playing with them? On the other hand, maybe we've seen their kind of a version of their ceiling, you know? And when you look at the Clippers, I still think their ceiling is more unknown. I don't know what an optimized Clipper team looks like. What I do know is that I like I said before, part of me wonders if just the LeBron James and Anthony Davis, if they're both healthy, if anything else is going to matter. If we're talking about LeBron playing like he's the best player in the world, AD playing like he's the best big man in the world, those two guys together, is anything else going to matter? And it might not.
Fox Sports Radio, Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon from the Geico Studios. On the hotline with us, friend of the show, national NBA writer and insider at the LA Times, it's Dan Wojcicki. You can find him on Twitter, at Dan Wojcicki Sports. So are you going to take up the cause for the Rockets and their protest over the James Harden missed dunk? Because, you know, not. I mean, that could be a tiebreaker that kills him.
I will not be marching. there will be no... no protests for me, no hunger strike.
In Chicago. You can't do that.
Yeah, I will.
I'm going hungry.
Oh, tweet. You can any Temple of the Dog takes, you can tweet those at me. We can talk about Mad Season if you want, which is sort of the other spinoff of Seattle Grand Rockets, if you want to do this.
I thought you're not going to tell me that hunger strike is not the – there's a better
hunger
Temple
strike
of the Dog
is way
song.
Better than hunger okay. strike is way better than River of Deceit, but okay. River of Deceit is a very good supergroup grunge song.
That's my guy.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Dan Wojcicki Sports. That's at Dan Wojcicki Sports. He is national NBA writer in Chicago.
Turn the dreck off. Get the off. Play changes.
You didn't say you hated the song.
No hit.
You just said
deep
it was the
only.
Second best song.
Deep cuts only. Deep cuts only.
Deep cuts and hobo wine. That's our guy, Dan.
I'm on satellite on the deep cuts, which is 27. It's between the Aussie channel and the Lithium channel. I'm on the deep cuts.
Sure. 27
Love
and a half.
Listen to a Little Melon. Just chill out, sit outside, listen to a Little Melon, fellas. It's great.
See you, buddy. Have fun.
See you, Dan.
That song's going to be in Dan Wojcicki's head for the next 3 weeks.
He's going to be dancing down the streets of Chicago singing that momentarily.